broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for September the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday, in the traditions of our founding fathers. We got a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. First hour, Chris Carlson, we talked about 9/11. Some are commemorating 20 years since September 11, 2001. We're asking some hardcore questions. Why were the NORAD jets not scrambled, huh? Why were the WTC buildings taken down by thermite explosives documented by physics professors who gave up their careers to stand on that truth, but yet the government won't admit or discuss or even research the details of the evidence found? How do the buildings fall at free fall speed? You know what? Inconsistent with the pancaking theory. How does that all go down? Eyewitnesses hearing multiple explosions. Columbia University documenting seismic shockwaves at different times. How? Why? What? Two planes take down three buildings. Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice managing the situation in the White House basement bunker while the president's reading books to children. What the heck's going on? After 9/11, why did we not secure our southern border? Ladies and gentlemen, what about the lying testimony from CNN correspondent Jamie McIntyre? All right, Jamie McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen, was on the scene minutes after it all happened. And he said, hey, there's no big planes here. I don't see a fuselage. I don't see anything like that at all. Well, then later, a couple of years later, he was on Kira Phillips, CNN again, and he lied and he said, oh, I saw the fuselage. I saw this. I did this. I did that. His testimony, absolutely 180 degrees inconsistent. What's up with that? We go on and on with the confusion, the manipulation, and the false flag called 9/11. Dr. Bradley, welcome. And on that note, what do you have to say for 20 years later?
Well, thanks for having me on again, and I appreciate the opportunity. And you have certainly pointed out some huge gaping holes in the whole narrative on this thing, the script that has been played. I try and get a hold of documentation of, official reviews of this and that, the other, whatever. You know, the Warren Commission report on the Kennedy assassination, for example. And certainly, this 9/11 report, I keep them on my credenza right in back of me all the time. It's a good reminder to me that if their lips are moving, they're lying. Virtually everything that's written in those reports is a cover-up. It's a facade. It's facilitating a storyline that has dramatically changed America. I think I've told you before that here back on 2010, the ninth anniversary of 9/11, I did a three-hour monologue about what has been taken from us in the previous 9 years. Well, in the ensuing 11 years, we have, you talk about the buildings doing free fall into the ground, a completely anomaly in terms of anything except for a planned detonation, a controlled demolition that was pre-planned, took weeks, literally, to get the charges put into place. The steel structure that was holding the building up, it needed over 700 of its integral structural support system cut at the right moment to have that happen. I mean, it's like this is complete nothing that has happened. Nothing that we've been told, I believe, is anything close to the truth. And if that's the fact, if there's that many lies being told, there has to be a purpose behind it. And, of course, as we look at so many things, and I'm not sure we really have a full grasp of the full purpose. I think 9/11 could somehow be tied into this COVID bizarre false pandemic thing in preparation for the people being completely led as sheep to the slaughter. And again, the Fourth Amendment's completely gone. I mean, it is gone. There is no Fourth Amendment left for America. And by the way, you say it's gone. Well, how can it get worse? Well, they're stacking the deck even further against us, you know, with digital driver licenses and apps that you'll have to put on your phone for tracking and tracing. I mean, Orwell missed it by a few years, but 1984 reflects an awful lot. His draconian society, his dystopian society, his dreary society. I can't hardly stand to read that book, by the way, but occasionally it bears rereading to think the pathway we're on. And it seemed very apparent to me that he chose the year 1984 for the implementation. But 2021, 2020, 2001, I mean, all of these are watershed years. And in fact, I know you're going to probably want to talk about some of the absolutely unconstitutional seizures of power that happened in the Joe Biden days, but happened yesterday. But, you know, I think about in my life, there are some watershed years that are days and, you know, calendars. If I think about, you know, the 22nd of November, 1963, I know exactly where I was and what I was doing when I got received word that JFK is assassinated. May 1st, 1970. I know right where I was when Nixon invaded Cambodia. August 8th, 1974, when Nixon resigned. I can picture the exact state I was in when he resigned. You think about September 11th, 1990, another September 11th, when George Bush said, "We're ready to implement the New World Order." I know exactly where I was. January 17th, 1991, when we did the shock and awe release on Saddam, exactly where I was. And you know what? The September 11th, 2001, Trade Towers things. All of these things, if you will, are such a hinge point in my mind for what's happened in America that I can't help but wonder if the 9th of September, 2001, will not become one of those. Because of what has, you know, the Biden over, it's not overreach, it's tyranny, bold face. It's not just a scoop shovel of something or a cup of this or a cup of that. This is full on dump truck loads of tyranny. And Americans have got to wake up. This has gone too far. And if we roll over on this one, I don't know if there's ever a coming back. So,
well, and America, this is the interesting thing. I mentioned over the last several days that, you know what, rogue agents in our government have literally declared war on we the people. Yes. And that's a very hard statement to make and a very bitter pill to swallow. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? You cannot come to any other conclusions. When you take 9/11, it was a bad enough assault. But who done it, we'll never know. In factual details that's common knowledge. You know, people like me might believe we have a handle on this and that. We may be right on most points. And, you know, Ron Paul documented that Saudi Arabia was heavily involved, et cetera, et cetera. We may get some pay dirt on it, but we're not going to get the whole story.
Ultimately will expose it. The yes. Shouting from the rooftops thing, that will happen. There will be a full disclosure.
Whether it happens in our time frame or whether it happens, you know, time will tell when, how, where. But it will happen. Agreed. Anyway, but the point that I'm getting at on this, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, when they had the 9/11 happen, it was bad enough. But then they literally used that to go in Afghanistan for 20 years, unconstitutional, immoral, unjust wars everywhere. But they also changed America internally with the Patriot Act, creating this lone wolf doctrine. You and I are domestic threats and terrorists and everything else. The Patriot Act, all these different, the Homeland Security. All these things happened and grew up around us under Republican leadership, let's be clear. So don't run around and tell me that the Republicans, well, we got to elect Republicans because they'll get our good guys on the courts. Yeah, the ones that wouldn't stand against your health care fiascos, Biden care, Obama care, Romney care, or whatever you call it, they don't care. They betrayed us on that. The pro-life issue, they've done nothing. To date, it's taken a couple of governors and a couple of states to get it done, but the federal government has betrayed us on that as well when they had control of every ounce of government, the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts. I could go on and on and on. All right, so they changed America internally substantially over the 9/11 scenario. Now they're doing it again under COVID. They're having, in my opinion, these warlike events, and they are literally using mass psychosis against the people. All right, they want to create this world of make-believe. And then they want to buy the media and by force of government force you into the world of make-believe. Anybody who challenges it angers those who are in the mass psychosis. You say, how did Germany fall off the rails? How did they melt down? How did they allow that to happen in their country? Same way we allowed 9/11 to completely change our internal affairs. Same way now we're letting COVID or whatever you want to call it, or eventually they'll be using the environment. Same scenario. How do we allow this to happen? I think it's mass psychosis at the helm, ladies and gentlemen. That's what happens when people turn away from God. They get loony as all get out. But now the question is, has Biden finally overplayed his hand with vaccine mandates? Biden announces vaccine mandates for 100 plus million Americans. Governor Kristi Noem already saying she's going to put together a lawsuit. Three governors, Ron DeSantis of Florida, Kristi Noem of South Dakota, and Greg Abbott of Texas, all three vow to fight vaccine tyranny. Let's get into the details of what Biden did yesterday. Then we'll break it down with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley on the radio. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Check out his weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and a whole lot more at FreedomsRisingSun.com. So blaming an estimated 80 million unvaccinated Americans, they become the lepers of our society. I'm one of them. Yeah, angry President Joe Biden mandated vaccines, basically blaming it on the 80 million that are not vaccinated. As many as 100 million people will be affected by the new, quote, mandate. Any government entity involvement with your business will facilitate the need, the mass force. In addition, they say Biden signing an executive order affecting 7 million more employers. Anybody who's a Biden employee, if you will, an executive branch employee, or anybody who's a contractor with them will have to be vaccinated as well. The mandate for executive branch workers expands previous mandates that were already in place. At the White House, Biden scolded the unvaccinated. "We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And your refusal to take the vaccines have cost all of us," he said, saying the mandate is not about freedom. It's not about personal choice. Biden said a distinct minority of Americans, I don't call 80 million a minority, by the way. I mean, I know you could say it's less than the 300 plus million. Supported by a distinct minority of public officials, are undermining the system. Now, the problem with that is Joe Biden's lying about the whole reality here, okay? But nevertheless, Biden says we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. And anyway, it goes on. But Biden literally creating new law. Criminal activity at the highest levels. He claims he's just making a rule. Dr. Bradley, let's break this down, sir.
Well, I wish there were time to peel the whole onion. I mean, there is not a shred of authority for the president to do anything that he claims the authority to do in this pronouncement, this edict, this godly directive that he's given, that he thinks he's God himself on earth. I mean, he is illegitimate, he's unauthorized, he is illegal. I have been saying that for quite some time now, and everything he has done with this, every shred of it, is a lie. Let's just take the idea of creating a law. He says it's a rule. No, if it's enforced as a law, it is a law. That's number one. Number two, all legislative authority is delegated to the legislature. All the president has the power to do is carry out those laws that are passed by the legislature. He cannot create them and call them something else when they're enforced as though they're a law. The issue of the legislature creating that so-called law is also unconstitutional. Let's say they got, oh, okay, the president wants this, we're going to pass a law that says all of these things have to happen, the forced vaccinations, the imposition of rules upon. See, what he's saying is that if you have a business that has over 100 employees, you are now required to bend the knee, kiss the ring, and grovel before the federal government, because the Department of Labor is now going to direct you to have all 100 of those employees vaccinated. No authority whatsoever exists for the general government to do anything like, or the state governments, or even the local governments to do anything like that. It's the purpose of government, according to the Declaration of Independence, is to secure God-given rights. And the fact of the matter is, none of this is allowed in any place in the government at all, anywhere. So we're at a condition right now when they have just thrown a big lasso when they're taking in all of God-given rights. And think for a moment. I mean, boy, I'm just all over the place, I know, but there's hardly time to even take a breath, because nowadays, if you take federal dollars for education, oh, by golly, we gotcha. See, Utah is in a horrid position that way, because Utah lives off the federal trough in their education. So he's claiming by educational dollars, we're buying your acquiescence on this in education. Oh, you take money for Medicare. Oh, you take it for Medicaid. So now we have to acquiesce in all of our healthcare facilities. And I'm so pleased to hear that there's some governors that are pushing back. Unfortunately, our mamby-pamby, spineless governor that we have in Utah that is more interested in going along and getting along will never raise a whimper on this, because he is on Biden's little committee that is now trying to figure out how this stuff can be foisted on the American public. Oh, he's got his ticket to the big game. He's sitting at the round table. And people need to say, Governor, you are not going to be a shill for this president. But anyway, we get sidetracked there a little bit.
Actually, speaking of roundtable, you and I are the only ones on the true roundtable, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
anyway, so here's some of the kind of breakdown of this. Joe Biden literally mandating this even into the private sector. Here's what he's saying. Anybody who or any company that has over 100 employees must vaccinate or show proof weekly of a negative COVID test. Now, the problem is there's not good COVID testing. The testing is expensive. The testing is hard to do. And so if you have over 100 employees and a bunch of them decide not to get vaccinated, the problem is you can't even test them all without now hiring some kind of a full-time testing person or whatever the case may be. I mean, this is draconian, to say the least. President Biden has pushed too far now. The problem is, I appreciate Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota and Ron DeSantis of Florida and Abbott in Texas. I appreciate them. But as long as they're receiving tons of federal government money, they don't have a prayer to fight this, doctor.
Well, that's the problem. When I was a kid, I don't remember the origins of this. I've used it on your program before, but I think it's an image that you can take and maybe play with for a while. And our statement was, if you accept the nickel, you accept the noose. Again, I don't remember why we said it, but think about this. You take their money, they put a noose around your neck, and they'll drag you around on a leash. And you think about the transportation funds, you think about the education funds, you think about the medical funds, you think about the welfare-type funds, which I'm using the term welfare the way they use it in society today, not the way the American founders did. But all of those things, every single aspect, you look at the police force, then all of the money they take, you look at universities and the grant money they take, the general government has metastasized because it has bought our acquiescence with our own dollars, for that matter. And we are now expected to bend the knee, and they'll say, oh, I guess you don't need those educational funds. Oh, you don't want your roads repaired? Oh, those grants that were going to go to the universities? Oh, what about those poor people that need their paychecks coming from the government every month to be able to buy food or whatever? Oh, what about those that are hospitalized, the elderly in the rest homes or whatever? Every single aspect of our lives have been completely co-opted by this scheme of expanding our social welfare state. And it is a socialistic kind of program from the get-go. There is nothing constitutionally that allows these. Nothing. Zero. Nada. There is nothing that could be construed. And if you look at the Bill of Rights, for example, the Ninth Amendment, it says about us, individuals, if we didn't mention a right and protect it in the Constitution, you still have that right. There's nothing in this Constitution removes any of the rights you have. You have all of them you had before the Constitution. It doesn't take any. Then the Tenth Amendment, which is very misconstrued by foolish people stepping over dollars to pick up pennies. The Tenth Amendment says to the general government, if we did not delegate authority to you, you do not have it. And then here's where we make the mistake, where it says those things are reserved to the states or the people. Now, the states do not have the authority to create a tyranny. And each state is limited within the bounds that the general umbrella, if you will, found in the Declaration of Independence that says the purpose of government is to secure God-given rights and the consent of the governed must be obtained in order to be governed. We gave the consent to be governed in the format we have when we ratified, let's take Utah, our Utah Constitution. And so we did not give a consent to the state of Utah for a governor to create law like the president seems to be trying to do, okay? And in fact, the Utah Constitution, our Article 1 is basically a reiteration, a restatement of the Bill of Rights. Everything from religion to speech to everything. It says you can't step on these things at all, right to keep and bear arms, everything. And then it goes on to say that if there's an emergency that comes up, the emergency continuity clause in the state of Utah says yeah, we can continue to exist, but nobody can violate the Constitution. See, that's the consent we gave as the governed. So those that sit at the head of the government, if you will, in the state of Utah that claim the right for the governor to seize power, and by the way, the Utah Constitution says that only the legislature or the people under certain circumstances may create law. And the governor has none. So every single thing that's happening right now is based upon a falsehood, an ignorance, if you will, of the people that we don't know. Certainly our legislature has not got the backbone to stand up and say over our dead body. Then let's talk about the idea of nullification. If, in fact, anybody thinks they're going to be able to carry this out, states still reserve the right to say over our dead body. The states created the Constitution. The states are the parties to the contract. The general government, that's people call it the federal government or the national government, but it is neither. We've talked about this before. We don't need to spend time on that. But the United States government is a creature of the contract. It was created by the document, the United States Constitution. There is no authority whatsoever for it to act outside those complete parameters that were ironclad. It was a written contract.
And we'll take
contract.
A quick break, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. L-I-N-Z-E-S-S. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Let's get more on President Biden's vaccine mandates. Dan Araki reports.
President Biden announced a new federal vaccine mandate Thursday that will compel all employers with more than 100 employees to require their employees to get vaccinated against COVID or be tested for the virus at least once a week. Representative Andy Harris says the president's policy completely ignores Americans who already have a level of natural immunity from being infected by the virus. The Maryland Republican tells Newsmax TV that the mandate is nothing more than a governmental overreach.
You know, the example would be, you know, if the government decided everybody has to have an appendix, appendectomy, remove your appendix, but you said, well, but I've had it removed, and they said, we don't care, we're going to give you an operation anyway. Why in the world would you want to vaccinate people who had the natural disease and now we know probably have superior immunity? It's because the president says he can force you to do it. That's the reason. He says he has the authority and power.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
We are USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley on your radio. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. You mentioned Spencer Cox, and Cox issued a statement regarding the president's vaccine mandate. Here's what Cox says. Getting vaccinated is the single most important thing people can do right now to protect ourselves and our community and reduce the spread of the Delta variant. While we support efforts that encourage vaccinations, we have serious concerns about the legality of the order. That's all he says on his webpage. That's Spencer Cox, the governor of Utah.
Well,
shame on him. And Dr. Bradley, I want to take on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the governor of Utah. The vaccine is not the single most important thing you can do to be safe and to protect our society and to stop the spread of the virus. I don't believe that's true. In fact, the vaccinations and the breakthrough vaccinations and everything else, many experts now are saying that it's probably causing greater spread of Delta variant. And we know that if you get vaccinated, you still can spread the Delta variant. You're still able to, you know, spread the virus even if you're vaccinated. They've gone from vaccinations being 95% effective at what? Now they've backed off and they've lowered the bar over and over and over. Now they say, well, if you get sick, it won't be as bad. It won't be as harsh. You probably won't die. So they've now lowered the bar of the vaccines to the point where, hey, any claim will work. But what do you think, and I want to answer this question myself as well, what do you think the best thing we could do to stop the spread, to stop the problem of this Delta variant or whatever else? They say vaccines is the best single thing we can do. I don't agree, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting to me, this total facade. I've always called it the Fauci facade for the last year and a half. We're now, what, 78 weeks into 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Nothing that has been said or done on an official level at any time, at any place, has been based upon truth and factual and science. It is absolutely a slapshot, computer model-driven kind of thing that has not brought any, there's been no fruit borne by it. And let's just suppose a scenario. Let's say you're vaccinated and I'm not, okay? If, in fact, it is both safe and effective, first of all, for safety, how can they cannot say that it is safe. And I'll tell you why. They have not got a track record. They have not done the testing. There's years left in the testing that needs to be done. Thalidomide is something I remember from my youth. It was a medication, so-called. It was a poison that was given to pregnant women that were suffering from morning sickness. Oh, yeah, this will take care of it. It took years for them to remove that from the market when they discovered, oh, my goodness, you give this to a woman that's pregnant and she's going to have a baby with no legs or no arms. I mean, what a tragedy. But it took years to have that thing be brought. And this, if you say it's safe, you cannot state that without any evidence. They have just, out of whole cloth, created that terminology. And it's effective. Let's just say you and I are, well, you're vaccinated, I'm not. Let's just say that. I know you're not. But let's say, why does your vaccine protect you unless I get next to you as a potential?
Well, but hold on. Infector. How can the non-vaccinated be a problem for the vaccinated anyway?
No,
if the vaccine
no
is safe, then you're okay. And if the vaccine is effective, then you're okay as well. But I can prove to you that the vaccine's not effective. Are you ready? The CDC blatantly admits they don't know how much antibodies you need in your body to be protected. They blatantly admit they don't know what the number is, what the antibody level needs to be in your body to make sure that you're protected. They don't know that number. They blatantly admit that. So my response is, if you don't know what number I need to have, but you say that the vaccines boost my number of antibodies, then my question would be, how do you know that it boosts it enough if you don't know the number? In other words, if you don't have a yardstick, how do you know what a yard is, doctor? How dumb am I? But that's really the reality that we're facing that they don't want to admit to. They don't know how much antibodies you need to have in your body to be protected. Therefore, how can they know that they're boosting it enough? They don't know. So to say that it's effective is an absolute blatant scientific lie, Dr. Bradley.
Well, and we know absolutely, scientifically and by experience, that it is not working. I mean, you look at Israel. Israel is a good example of a bad example. A draconian society, socialistic welfare state, complete totalitarianism with a smile on its face, of course, but there's fangs in the smile and an iron fist in the silver in this the silk glove. But in Israel, they have the highest vaccination rate in the world for a whole nation, okay? And they're just on their knees begging, please. Of course, they're begging to get under the out from under the tyranny, but they've been doing the second shot. They're planning a third shot. I mean, excuse me, the third shot. Now they're planning a fourth shot.
And the reason that they're doing the second shot and the third shot is because here's what they're saying. We don't know what the level of antibodies you have to have in your body is to be protected. We just know that if we keep giving you this, we can hopefully boost it. And then maybe we can back into an idea that we can say, well, we believe now with certainty in most cases that this is the threshold. That's what they're trying
You're
to do now.
Rep.
Over and over and over with their, quote, effective vaccine. Why do we do one? Then we do two. Then we do a booster. Then we do this. Then we do that. And the truth is, they don't even know what the number is, doctor. Can anybody dispute the point
don't.
That I'm making?
You're absolutely correct. But the deal is that you're a lab rat now, buddy. you and I, all humanity is under the largest experimentation, human experimentation that's ever been carried out. Again, I might note, in violation of the Nuremberg Code published in 1947 in response to the absolutely vile things that happened during World War II by Nazi doctors against people that had experiments performed on them. But so here we have you're fully vaccinated. No, you're not. You got to take another vaccine. So you're not fully vaccinated now. You got to take a booster. Now you got to take that. Then a couple months from now, they have to take another. You're not fully vaccinated. Take this other one. And it's unending. Pfizer is now working on.
And what's the reason you have to take the other one? What's the reason they say?
Because they don't work.
You mean because the effectiveness isn't effective?
That's again, we're pointing out the fact that every person that has more than half a brain should be able to see this thing. But apparently we don't. And certainly those that lead are expecting everyone to be stupid fools. And we are. I mean, we've demonstrated that over and over and over and over again. But you look at what's happening in Australia. We're going there. You're locked down, solitary confinement, but an hour a day. The draconian actions of police that patrol the streets. I mean, I had a brother that spent some years there and a son that spent some years there. These people are they're good people. I mean, you know, they're pretty laid back and easy to get along with, and they like their freedom, and they don't like anybody to bug them. But in the old days, before 1996, they had their firearms, ultimately, to say, over our dead body. They disarmed the people 25 years ago. And now we're at a point where they are. Australia was started basically as a penal colony. When they couldn't send any more prisoners to the North American continent because of this Revolutionary War thing and our independence and all that kind of stuff, they started sending them to Australia. It was a penal colony. Australia has become a penal colony again. New Zealand's very similarly operated. Again, these people are just tyrants. And you look at the World Economic Council, for example. They say they're going to reset all the mores, all the values, attitudes, beliefs, and economic stuff of the world based upon COVID. And we have ecclesiastical involvement at the highest levels. We have businesses, large businesses involved with those kind of efforts. And sadly,
ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is COVID's rules in Australia are really a warning to the rest of the world that it doesn't work, that it's draconian and abusive to the point where how on earth did we get here? We're going there at blazing breakneck speed. And anybody who calls this out is, you know, dubbed an enemy of the state. I mean, literally right now, Joe Biden shamed those who are not vaccinating. He's literally now persecuting those who will not take the vax. Think about that. It's persecution. He's blaming all the deaths on you and I. The president of the United States is literally persecuting us, Dr. Bradley.
Yes.
I mean, think about that for a minute. The president of the United States and many church leaders are now virtually persecuting those who will not take the vaccinations.
Well, it goes beyond that. Do we have to take a break?
I think yes, we do. In a second, it goes beyond that. We'll start right there. Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman. You know what? I've literally, when they deny people ivermectin and they know that's a lie, and then they mandate vaccinations, they have become at war with the people, persecuting those who will not take the experimental bio vaccine.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, persecuting the unvaxxed begins with the President of the United States of America. What a shame this is in the land of the free, ladies and gentlemen. You ask yourself how Germany got where they got? In my view, this is how, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, I know we're kind of shotgun blasting this thing in terms of there's a little bit here and a little bit there. I wish we could rifle in on each of these things and fully develop them. But let's just take another issue. This idea of everybody with over 100 employees has to test them weekly. Again, we point out the cost of those tests, not to mention the intrusive nature of a medical procedure being performed on people that the general government has mandated illegally, again, we might add. But here's how United Airlines has solved the problem, their problem, because this is going, according to what the president said, to be a $14,000 per violation fine against these companies. Now, I know companies have got 100 employees that you know, there's 100 people that are glad to support their families with that, but they are not rocking and rolling in the bazillion dollar range with the owners of it. They love their employees, many of them. They're concerned to make sure their families are supported. They would go without a paycheck in order to make sure their people got a paycheck. I just know this for a fact. At any rate, but what United Airlines has done, they said, you know, it's okay, you don't have to get a vaccine, it's good, we're fine with that. We're just going to put you on a furlough. You know, a furlough is a leave of absence, an unpaid leave of absence, until you either get the vaccination or we decide that it's safe. All clear, you can come back to work. The COVID has gone away, and it's never going to go away. It is going to be there until mortality has ended and this world has met its purposes according to God's plan. But the fact of the matter is that they're sounding so benevolent. Oh, yeah, you're still one of our employees. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, but we're not going to pay you. And we will call you back someday when we decide it's safe. And here's the deal. You can starve to death in that interim. In essence, they're putting out a facade also. You're not safe. You're not affected properly. You're not cared for by the company. They are cutting you loose to a drift in the ocean. But that's how United Airlines is having it. So that's what's going to happen. The government is going to leverage this and say, oh, it's $14,000 if you don't do this. So everybody's going to have to do these invasive tests and or get the vaccine. And so you know where the pressure is. But in the general government, if you work for the feds, there's no more you can get tested thing. You will be vaccinated or you will lose your job. They're saying, and of course, that's a very poor German accent, but they're giving them 75 days. Oh, yeah, we'll work with you. And then we will proceed with our process. Now, I'll just tell you what I would do. If it were me and I was in the middle of any of these things, I would refuse to be vaccinated. And they would proceed through with their program until they terminated me. And then I would sue them for wrongful termination. That's how the approach I would use. Now, you say, well, Bradley, they're going to swat you off like a miserable fly. But if we had 50 million, 100 million wrongful termination.
Even a million, doctor.
But think what this would do. I mean, somebody's going to say to these tyrants, these complete buffoons that, you know, I keep saying they're illegitimate, they're unauthorized, they're illegal, that are calling these shots. And I put most of our Congress in that, too, and most of our governors in that, too, and most of our state legislatures. So it's not just, you know, a slur against the president. But, yes, a million lawsuits. But that's what I would do if it were me. But I think literally if we had 100 million people saying over our dead body, I think that there would have to be some level of recognition that they've overstepped their bounds. Now, I think that's better than taking to the streets and shooting everybody that got in the. But there's high passion. I'm not recommending violence, but I know there are people that are going to finally say, we are at the end of our rope. We don't have any other options. It's a bridge too far. So,
and sadly, I agree with their point, although I may not agree with their tactics, right?
Well, that's true, but here's what Edmund Burke said back in 1777. Now, people don't, and again, Burke was a friend of the American cause, even though he was in British Parliament. He said, people crushed by law have no longer hopes but from power. If law is the enemy, they will be enemies to laws. And those who have much to hope and nothing to lose will always be dangerous. That's what Edmund Burke said back in 1777. Look, if you make the law the enemy of the people, if you take these draconian steps, sooner or later, the most vulnerable will be the first to crack. There will be those that, you know, they're kind of on the bubble already. A lot of people are. I think a year and a half in solitary confinement for some people has kind of construed their mind into a way that they're not thinking straight. And if they create laws that are enemies and it takes away what little hope the people have, sooner or later there will be a response. And I think to some degree in some circles they're probably hoping for that because it will give them an excuse. Now, by the way, let's just take it another step. In Utah, we have stupidly passed a law that says foreigners can be police officers. Okay, now, if we have people that are Americans, that have an Americanist perspective, that understand what individual rights are, Second Amendment kind of things, right to worship, and all these kind of things, if we have police officers that have that background, there may be it's getting worse, I think, now because of the way we're doing our police. But at any rate, at least some will have this conscience that says we can't overstep. I took an oath to the Constitution. Certainly there are many that feel that way. But let's say we start hiring foreigners. Let's say we hire a lot of these Afghans that are coming in, or Somalis, or whomever, illegals coming across our southern border. They do not have an Americanist perspective of individual God-given rights. And so when the order goes out, sweep up all the firearms. It's like, okay, I will follow your orders. That's how the brown shirts went. That's how the Kristallnacht happened in Germany, when they came through and they decimated the Jewish businesses. These kind of things happen when you get people that are willing to follow a mantra that does not have limits and bounds. And so, yeah, we're in a bad state right now. And I think many people at the head of the government would like to see some pushback that became violent, because they would use that for the next step of draconian stuff. But
and I hope we're wise enough not to fall for it. I hope we use the legal system. I hope we use the autonomy of the private business sector. I hope people use their individual agency and their liberty to literally stand against this tyranny perpetuated by the President of the United States. I believe the President of the United States is persecuting the unvaccinated right now, blatantly so. He blamed them for this virus, blamed them for the death, blamed them for everything. This has got to stop, and he's in the wrong branch of government. He doesn't make law. He has no authority. He should literally be impeached. And then after the impeachment, he should be tried for criminal activity on this front and for deceiving the people in bed with Fauci on these lies about the vaccinations, about their safety and about their effectiveness, while lying about ivermectin's safety and effective track record, etc. But it gets worse, ladies and gentlemen, because understand that the experimental vaccines, the experimental COVID vaccines, are bioweapon delivery systems, Dr. Bradley. We cannot avoid this reality either. Again, this is a bold statement to make, but I am convinced they're bioweapon delivery systems, Dr. Bradley.
Well, they set up the whole scenario, and they appear to be a devastatingly poisonous threat to everyone that takes them, and we don't know the full extent of it because it hasn't been fully implemented. But I'll just touch on something perhaps that's related to this. You know, Rand Paul has had Fauci testify a couple of times before their committee in the Senate, and Fauci lied through his teeth about the gain-of-function things that the U.S. government paid for and where we sent that to be done and all this kind of stuff. Now there's overwhelming evidence, in my opinion, that says that Fauci lied, and people are dying because of it. That's another little aphorism we can start taking up. He has turned over a complaint to the Department of Justice, the Biden Department of Justice, I might parenthetically kind of roll my eyes at, that Fauci should be brought in and tried for lying before Congress. It's a 5-year prison sentence if it happens. It'll never happen because the Biden criminal regime will protect him. But that kind of stuff is going on. There was absolutely gain-of-function processes going on, paid for by U.S. dollars, illegally, that Fauci lied, said was not going on, and when in fact it was. So at every level, we have been lied to. And yes, there's so much that we don't know about what's being injected to these people that, I mean, will the next generation be able to have children? I don't know. Will there be some kind of autoimmune system things they're more inclined to? Will there be a diminishment in our ability to avoid autism? Will we have, here's another one, a very strong likelihood of the beyond Guillain-Barré expansion, which is, in my opinion, I've been saying this for months, the modern-day polio, that is the number one thing that's on the warning sheets about these things. And there's a strong likelihood that 40% of the people that get this modern polio because of these things will never regain their function. I mean, heart attacks, strokes, you know, these inflammation of the hearts, particularly in younger people. I say, safe and effective? What are you guys smoking?
And if you look at the VAERS database, even their own internal government evidence proves that any vaccine that's had this kind of ill effects and or death tied to it would be pulled off the market and has been in the past over and over and over and over. And somehow this time is different. They can lie and say it's effective and safe. We know it's not effective because you got to get one after the other, and they don't even know how many antibodies they need to gain to be effective and safe and protected in the first place. But now the safety issue, every other vaccine in the past has been pulled off the market with a tenth of this kind of carnage in its wake, doctor.
100th. Oh, absolutely. And here's another little interesting thing. You've probably seen or heard the commercials on TV that says you may be eligible for a large settlement. You know what? All of those are associated with FDA-approved drugs. I mean, did you have blah, blah, blah for pain? Did you do blah, blah, blah and your kidneys failed? Did you do... All of these are FDA-approved that later on are pulled off the market, and then there's huge settlements. Now, they're not covered or protected by this nonsensical law that Reagan signed back in 86 and these emergency use authorization, you know, covers that are given today. These other drugs, you can sue on them when they have bad effects on you. That is withheld completely today by the way we're doing these vaccines. There is not a shred of evidence there's any reason to take these things.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that Joe Biden ought to be arrested, though, for his criminal activity. He ought to be impeached and tried and arrested for his criminal activity. Any final word, doctor?
Yes, the problem we're going to have is we're going to have an ineligible president then with our current vice president because she does not qualify constitutionally to do the job. Everything about this is illegitimate, unauthorized, and illegal.
Wow, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's website. Weekly webinars and more. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word for Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman. God save the Republic. Turning to God is better than vaccines, I'll tell you.